Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have a really amazing founder, you know, a founder that has done it. You know, now he's really working on giving back. It's amazing, you know, what he is doing, in that sense of belonging. You know, we're going to be talking about that during our podcast today. We're going to be talking about authenticity in business, also mentoring people, going about expanding your business. And many other things, you know, amongst the, for example, the acquisition that he went through with his company. His company got acquired for $200 million, and they pretty much self-financed the whole thing. So really remarkable and inspiring story that we have ahead of us. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Mohamed Kachab. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alejandro. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
So originally born in Lebanon, you know, obviously... Nice. You moved to Dubai, but I know that during the years that you were born, you know, I know that there was a lot of uncertainty. So I guess give us a walk through memory lane. You know, how was life growing up for you?
Yeah, like Lebanon, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that country. It's like a very diverse country and it brings a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, around the world. So I had this chance to be like, you know, part of these genes, you know, and yes, it was like a lot of uncertainty, but as you know, with uncertainty, it brings with a lot of power. It gives you a lot of energy. You know, once you are like, you know, born and raised in a space which you feel there is a lot of certainty, it puts inside you like a lot of power, a lot of energy that you want to create and you want to prove and you want to do it. So I think that helped us as a nation, you know, to be successful and to be like, because we have a lot of culture, like, you know, diverse within the country. Also, it helped us to speak a lot of languages, to understand more how to deal with a lot of cultures around the world. So that, I think, helped a lot as a base. And then moving from Lebanon to Dubai, you know, it was a big move, you know, because you have the background of this cultural background, and then you are moving into a city which just started, you know, Dubai. It started 30 years ago. So moving from an entrepreneurial and a place which is full of, as you said, of uncertainty, but full of hope, you know, I feel we're a nation of hope. Because like, I'll give you an example, like there was years where there was like wars, you know, across the country, but you feel like, you know, the people and the and everyone, like once the war is finished, next day everyone is back to their business, back to parties, back to having fun, you know. So this is part of our culture. And moving from there to Dubai, which is a stable city, a stable country, you know, which where they're building the future, you know, they're building the city of the future, they're building the country of the future. I feel that gave me a big push, you know, to be who I am today.
So why engineering out of all things?
So I was like, honestly, I was so good in math and physics at school, like, you know, and I wanted to take this challenge. And I was always like analytical. I like to analyze. I like to challenge myself. So this is how it started, like, you know, in school. And I was so good at that. So I felt, no, I want to go and expand my knowledge in this. And it really worked. And I think engineering, if I would give an advice for anyone who wants to start, like, and thinking about what major you do is engineering, because engineering is like, you don't need to finish and just go and work in that domain. It gives you a mindset, like, to be a better entrepreneur, like, you know, a better businessman, a better in life, because it gives you tools how to analyze things better. So I feel engineering was really a good decision to take moving forward.
So then let's talk about entering the world of telecom. You know, right. how was that for you?
So I graduated in 2007 and like I had the chance to move to Motorola, like in Dubai. So I moved, I studied in Lebanon in Beirut, and then I moved to Dubai and I started as a telecom engineer. and I worked there for 2 years. It was so amazing, you know. But like for me, I had always a dream. I want to be my own boss. I want to create something. I want to make an impact. You know, I want to create jobs. You know, I want to do something for myself. I want to be my, you know, control my own destiny. And this is how it started. But engineering, that 2 years, honestly, it was like something I will never forget because like especially in telecom, you know, like, and it was booming. So I've learned a lot of like technologies. I like everything is related to technology. You have to be always on the top of things because, okay, today you graduate and you have the diploma, but like in 2 years, you're going to be outdated if you are not on the top of technology, of what's happening. So that put me in a place at the beginning that you always need to be on the top of your thing, always be updated, always go to trainings, you know. So that gave me a big push that I have to be on the run, on the go always, just to make sure, you know, I'm up to date in the new technologies, in the new things that's happening.
So then let's talk about venturing into the unknown, into the world of entrepreneurship. How was that for you? Because, I mean, obviously, you come from a country also that is very traditional, you know, so right. I'm sure that becoming an entrepreneur and not going into a large corporation or something like that, I'm sure it was quite a conversation too with your family.
Yeah. So at the beginning, it was really funny because I agree with what you've said. You know, you come from a traditional, I come from a small city as well in Lebanon, you know. So like, yes, you are not exposed a lot and you are not like, I'm not born in New York City, for example. You have all this exposure, and I hadn't had the chance to travel a lot, you know, because of like maybe financial situation at the beginning. So yes, at the beginning it was so. And I'm based in Dubai, and I'm like, you know, it's a multicultural city, you know, and it's a cosmopolitan city, you know, like it's not easy to work with. But you know, at the beginning it was so funny, you know, it was like. It was a bit of, we didn't expect that we're going to take this company that big, you know. At the beginning, it was a dream, you know, we had a dream, you know, yes, we had the challenges, yes, we weren't, you know, up to, you know, the thing that we have to be, but we had a dream. We wanted to do something, and we wanted to be our own boss, and we wanted to make a difference. This is how we started, you know, it started by just thinking simple that way. And we took it from there. We've learned a lot, you know, and we've, like, you know, I extended my studies, you know, I've been mentored a lot by a lot of successful people. I'm very social. So I spoke to a lot of people around me, and I tried to be like, you know, to get to know things that I don't know, and taking this experience from a humble place into international space. But I'll tell you now, we can discuss how we moved from this, but it was at the beginning a very humble, you know, beginnings. And this is how we took it like step by step forward.
So then BNB Group, I mean, it's obviously the company that you guys did, you know, it's the company that you ended up going at it, you know, full time, 2009. So I guess before we go into the, you know, actual story of the company, for people to get it, what ended up being the business model of BNB Group? How are you guys making money?
Yeah. So look, at the beginning, it was like self-funded. And just to give you a quick brief about what is BNB. So BNB is a group of companies, mainly in the snacking category. So what we do is we do like a category has Mediterranean sweets. Another category is chocolates. And another one is healthy snacks. We have a company, Hummus, that does hummus. We have a gluten-free. So, and we do ingredients, bakery ingredients. So it's a diverse, you know, it's a diverse company. And it started with a small kitchen, you know, like I remember we started as a very small kitchen. And then we started to grow up every category, you know, and then we open up, you know, once we are growing, we started like, you know, growing our factory, our manufacturing facilities, our team. So it started at the beginning as a very humble start. And this is where we started to scale up even from the manufacturing to the, like, you know, to all the commercial and the background teams.
So then I guess, how were the origins like? How were the early days? Because you were saying that they were very humbling. You know, obviously you guys didn't take any external money. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But How were the early days like? At what point do you realize, hey, I think that they were into something here?
Yeah. So when I moved from my corporate job to the business, I was like recently engaged, you know, and I had to cut my salary into half. And just to give you like a funny story, like one of my friends, he told me, are you leaving engineering to sell baklava? Like baklava, which is like a Mediterranean sweets, you know? So they were making fun out of it because like, what the hell you're doing, you know? And I moved and we became the largest baklava manufacturers in the world, you know? So this is how we made this like niche industry, like, you know, largest in the world. So yes, we started humble, and yes, we started with a very small capital. But what we've done is we've went and we've got like really good accounts, and on because it's a B2B business, you know, we're not a retail business. So we had a cash flow coming in, and what we've done instead of like taking the cash out our pockets, we were always reinvesting the money inside the company. And the first few years was like, for us, like we barely could pay our bills. But what our main focus was is to make sure is to keep all what we're doing inside the business. And the business was like growing. And while we were growing, we were funding the business. So, and then we had a very good relationship with the banks and they gave us good facilities. So we didn't need to go out and raise money. So it worked well for us. And as we grew the business, because it's a B2B and it's a more cash coming business, so we didn't need to bring anyone, you know, inside the business.
So, I mean, but I'm sure that eventually, you know, you guys had like all types of offers and opportunities of external investors to come in, because, I mean, you were building a really nice business. So why did you guys make the decision not to raise money from external investors?
Yeah, like, you know, at the beginning, because we didn't want to, like, you know, as a founder, you always at the beginning, you don't want to dilute yourself, you know, but you want to make sure you get the most out of the opportunity. And we had the chance to raise money. And as you said, we had, because we belong to this Dubai community, is like the entrepreneurial community is very like connected, you know, and we all help each other. We all like, you know, talk to each other. So it's, and, you know, it's very open, you know, market. So you have a lot of connections, a lot of people who would come and like try to come and work with you. But what we've said is like, if we don't need it, you know, why would we raise money? You know, why would you put like any money on the table? We don't need that. So, and we had the chance to have really good relationship with the banks, you know, and once we wanted to build the factory and to build like, you know, the factory and to grow the factory. So we always said, instead of doing this, let's take the risk at the beginning, because like we're still young and we'll take the risk. If at a certain stage later, we think, you know, it's, we can raise money, we'll do it. But fortunately, like the first few years in the business, we're really doing well. We were doubling, you know, year over year. So the cash was coming in. So we didn't need, you know, more cash to, and we said, we either make it big or we don't want it. You know, that was always our like, you know, our vision. Like, so we didn't want to take to have dividends, let's say, to buy houses. I bought my house in 2018, you know, so after 10 years of joining the business. So I was renting my house, you know, until, you know, like 10 years later. So what we wanted to do is to make sure we had a very clear vision, like, you know, after we started, after a few years, either we go IPO or we have a strategic investor coming in. So either we go big and like, you know, this company can grow as maximum as we can do, or like, you know, let's keep it as is. So our dream was big. And this is why we said, instead of diluting ourselves with the cash that we don't need, and we don't want to put cash today in our pocket, you know, either we put a lot of cash in our pocket or it's not worth it. So that was the dream. You know, we want to make it big. So this is why we've said, you know what, like, we're not going to put money on the table. We just want to reinvest everything we have. And we were fortunate, to be honest as well, during our career to have some big accounts, large accounts, you know. So we work with large names, you know, in the region here. And this gave us the leverage, you know, to to work with this and get the cash, you know, while we were producing for them huge accounts and to build our business to grow it globally, to open offices in more than 35 countries across the world. So yeah, so I think it was, the dream was big. This is why we didn't want to lose any opportunity within the business.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard. And already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So then in this case, I know that, you know, we're thinking about building the business. I know that authenticity, you know, for you in business, you know, is a big one. So tell us, what do you mean with this?
Exactly. So, like when I start, like I come from a very authentic family, you know, like values, like my dad that he taught me was really, was always the top priority. Same thing, my cousin, like, and my business partner, you know, when we started the business, we had the same values. We shared the same vision. So for us, I always promised myself, because in business, you see a lot of people after few years, after 5 or 10 years, you see a different personality when they started and when they exit, you know. So I promised myself the day one I started the business, like, I'm gonna stay who I am, the humble person, you know, the charming person, like, you know, a friendly person. So I don't want the business to change me, because, like, sometimes, you know, once you go into the business, you grow your business and you have a lot of issues, problems, you know, with customers, suppliers, employees, you know, you become more tough and you become more transactional. What I promised myself is, this is not going to change me. I want to stay who I am. And the day I'm going to exit, or the day I'm going to reach, like, you know, the end, I'm going to look back and I don't want to regret anything. So because I don't want to reach after a few years, you know, I make tons of money and then I look back, I was stepping on people's shoulders, you know, or I was cheating, or I was doing, you know, wrong steps. So I had this clear from the beginning. I'm a bit spiritual as well. This helped me in business. So I promised myself at the beginning, I will never change, you know. And if you see me today, and if you see me 15 years ago, it's exactly the same person. I have never changed. And this is what I always, when I mentor someone, I always tell them something. If you wanna really make it big, or if you want to make an impact, the most important thing is like, make an impact on yourself, work on yourself, you know, because the worst thing you can do is you grow a business, you make it big, and you lose yourself in this, like, journey, right? So no, like, for me, no, I enjoyed the journey. It was like, it was a lot, it was painful, you know, there was a lot of pain. I lost my dad, I lost my mom, you know, I had a lot of ups and downs. There was 3 years during this journey, the company was about to collapse. So I passed through a lot, but I always said, I can do, like, I can start up again and I can do another company. And, like, so it's not the end of the world. I just want to make sure I stay who I am. So authenticity made me, honestly, made the business where it is today, because all our customers, all our employees, they were connected to that you know, to that culture. We've created really a nice culture. And the company who acquired us, it's like, honestly, it's one of the largest, but like it was founded by a very special person in the early 70s. His Highness Sheikh Zayed. Sheikh Zayed is the founder of the UAE, and he's the father of the nation. You know, he's the one who put the first stone to create this amazing nation. And this company, if they will not ever come and buy a company, if the founders and the entrepreneurs and the company itself, if it doesn't look, you know, like it doesn't share the same values. So at the end, it paid off. You got my point. So authenticity in business is, for me, is amazing, you know, and it's love, you know, it's spreading love. You don't need to grow your business or to make money while spreading hate. So authenticity keeps this, you know, this nature within the business. And once you succeed with authenticity, you enjoy. Everyone is like, and everyone will enjoy around you. If it is the team, if it is customers, if it is suppliers, if it's friends, if it's family. So yeah, so authenticity for me is like, is a priority in life, you know, like in anything I do.
So walk us through the, make us insiders through the acquisition, you know, because obviously the company ended up having a really nice exit with Avia. So walk us through how that acquisition happened and what was that process like?
Yeah. So it was during COVID, by the way. It was the toughest time like we've ever passed. COVID was at the beginning was tough, but it was the best thing that happened to our business because we're in food business, right? Food manufacturing. And COVID gave a big boost, you know, to our business. But it all started when the company, they contacted us. They wanted to, because as I told you, the market here, it is big and it's small. You know, our culture is, I always say we have an amazing culture here, you know, like, because our culture is very friendly. You know, everyone knows everyone, you know, we always like to connect. We always like to, you know, meet and like it's a nice culture. And our business is that it has a good name, you know, within, and it has a good vibes within the community. So they have contacted us in April 2021, and it took 4 or 5 months to just finish the deal. You know, so they started in April and we finished the deal in September, October, the same year, you know. So, and since I told you about the values and authenticity, so our business was built in a very straightforward, you know, our finance, our structure, our financial numbers, our commercial, our route to market. It wasn't that hard to, in terms of diligence. And the company, they're very smart. You know, they're a public listed company. They half belong to the public listed company and another half owned by a company called ADQ, which is one of the largest sovereign funds in the world, you know, and such a great teams, big teams, smart teams. So they come, they finish the deals quickly. You know, it's not like it takes 1 year or 2 years of diligence. They want to make sure they keep the culture, they keep the incentive, they keep everything working, so they don't take so much time during diligence. So for them, it's 3+1, you know, maximum 4 months, we have to change it. So honestly, it wasn't a bit tough, to be honest, because they knew what they want, we knew what we want, and everyone made it easy, you know, for everyone. So yeah, it was a 4 or 5 months of diligence, and from the start to exiting, you know, the deal.
And 200 million. So yes. Not a bad outcome, you know, especially having in mind that, you know, that went all to the partner's pocket, which is amazing. Right. And so I guess, you know, for you, the next one, you know, I guess this next chapter is more about sense of belonging and giving back. And you are actually part of organizations like Endeavor, which is a phenomenal organization. But walk us through this next chapter, this giving back. Why giving back, you know, and really helping the startup ecosystem is so important to you?
Yeah, because like Endeavor, like who doesn't know Endeavor, like it's a global nonprofit organization, which is all about scaling the global economy, you know, and usually there's like, we have offices almost in most of the cities around the world. And the aim is to find companies or entrepreneurs who are like capable to scale up their business and to put them into the network and help them grow. And so for me, Endeavor had helped me a lot during my career, during the company growth. So once we entered Endeavor, they helped us to scale this business really quick and globally. And it was all about being mentored by amazing leaders, you know, like across the world, like, you know, from Dubai to US to Asia to Europe. So I was mentored by the top people around, you know, around this offices. And it was all about helping us to grow. And this, I have this always like in my nature of giving back, you know, giving back to the community and giving back to family, to friends. So so I had this also fired up, you know, and I'm very close, like, you know, Endeavor, I'm one of the most, let's say, committed members in the world, you know, so there is 3,000 entrepreneurs. I feel I'm one of the top five of whoever committed, because I want to give back the way they gave me. So within this community, you mentor and you get, you know, you get mentored and you mentor people. So it put me, like, it fired me up. Okay, so I want to make sure, you know, whoever wants help in accessing, let's say, markets, which is I had the chance to access, I had the chance to explore, and then also people who are at the beginning of their career, at the beginning of their journey, to help them. So this organization really gave me a lot of also power to do that, you know. So, and I think it was a big part of who I am today. It shaped me the way who I am today.
I want to ask you something there real quick, Mohammed, because I think that is very profound what you just said, you know, of giving back to friends and family. And I know that you're even getting behind your brother, you know, now, Dr. Kashyap. So so how do you typically go about helping out founders? And in this case, for example, your brother, Dr. Kashyap, which he has like something really cool, you know, that he's saying, right, that he's rolling out.
Right, right. So let me tell you about my brother, you know, like, I never thought like we're going to do something together. We're very close. He's one of the smartest people I have ever met. You know, he's one of the top endoscopists in the world. You know, he has disrupted this, you know, industry. And once our mom passed away in 2019, okay, and with a disease called acute pancreatitis. And that's the specialty of my brother, you know, and he was in the US and my mom had this issue in Lebanon and he had to fly to Lebanon. But unfortunately, it was like 24 hours late. The doctor in Lebanon took a wrong decision and it caused what it caused, you know. And when my brother came in, he had this like anger, you know, like and that doctor was even his professor, you know, back in days in the American University of Beirut, you know. So, and it turned out fire inside him, you know, and it was so tough to see, you know, what happened. When he came back to the States, he wanted to find a cure to that disease, you know, and what he did is he co-founded a company with amazing physicians, and they've created a company called Solve, which is now in the process. They just finished the seed round, you know, they're moving. And it was all, by the way, grants. They didn't raise any money from investors. So he created a drug, which is a flush. So acute pancreatitis, just give me a minute to tell you what is it, just to tell you where I got inspired. It needs six endoscopy procedures. Each procedure is 2 hours, full anesthesia, like, you know, and if you're old, you can't hold this, you know, and they have to put a drainage from the pancreas to the stomach to drain out all this, like, you know, inflammation. And if someone is old or like not in a good shape, they cannot sustain this. So there is 2.8 million people dies annually because of this disease. So what they did is they created a flush. It's like it's a magic flush that you just flush it inside the pancreas, and in 10 minutes it dissolves the whole inflammation and then you're cured. And it is a one half an hour procedure, and they are now in advanced stage of of like animal tests. And for me, that gave me like, wow, you know, like what, like I know, I always knew that my brother is his genius, you know, he saved a lot of lives, but that was for me a wow effect. And this is where we started talking. So, because he's not coming from a business background. So the way he formed that company, for me, it wasn't, you know, the optimal way for him, you know, and this is where we started discussing. It was just a mentoring session, you know, it's not like I didn't want to do anything with him. It was just helping him and doing it right, because he had a lot of ideas that he wants to do like in the future. This is how we started. And then when I went deeply with him, I saw how smart is he and the amazing ideas he has. And for me, I always wanted to make an impact. And when I exited the business, like, you know, I thanks God I have now the luxury to say no to the things that I don't want, you know, because now I don't want to go into things just to make money or just to invest. I just want to go and put my time in things that makes an impact. The impact in the business I've done in BNB, we had 1,500 employees and maybe another 1,500 indirectly, you know, that are working with suppliers, customers. So I had the chance to, let's say, to have an impact on jobs, you know, but like with medtech, with medical devices or like drugs, it's like, it's you're impacting people's life, you know, and this is something that is curing people from dying. So for me, when I started talking with my brother, like I felt like that's a huge impact that I can do, you know, I can add. So imagine if I do this and we create a couple of devices, a couple of drugs, and it turned out to be successful, how much impact we can do. And plus you can make money as well, right? So if the chance, if you succeed, you save people's life and you make money. So this is how it started. And my brother is kind of a guy who starts at 5 in the morning and he shut down at 10 in the evening. You know, he's genius, and he goes beyond like what is needed to make something successful. And this is how it started.
Well, it's all about the future that you're living into. So, you know, really exciting stuff there. Now, talking about the future, I want to talk about the past, but doing so with a lens of reflection. So let's say I was to put you into a time machine and I bring you back in time, you know, perhaps to 2009, that moment that you were, you know, venturing into the unknown. And let's say you were able to stop that younger self and you were able to give that younger self, that younger Mohammed, one piece of advice before launching a business. What would that be and why, given what you know now?
Don't be sensitive, you know, don't take things personal. You know, sometimes, you know, let's say at the beginning, you get a hit by a customer or someone who doesn't respect you or like, you know, like whatever, you know, don't be sensitive and don't take things personal. Because once you are mature enough, it's easy for you to just put it back, you know, but at the beginning, you take it so much on yourself that you cannot hold it. Yeah. So don't be sensitive and don't take it personal.
I love it. So, Mohammed, for the people that are listening that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, my email address, I think it's like, you know, the best way to contact. My personal email address is it's mokhashab, KHASHAB at hotmail.com.
Amazing. Well, hey, well, easy enough. Well, Mohammed, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an honor to have you with us.
Thank you, Alejandro. My pleasure. Thank you so much. It was nice talking to you.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening and see you at the next episode.